waiting for Christmas. Kids have a hard time waiting for Christmas, and I think maybe some adults do too. But I've went on and found some actual waiting letters that the kids have written, and I want to share them with you. It says, "Dear Santa, when you come home to my house, there will be cookies for you. But if you are real hungry, you can use our phone and order a pizza to go so you won't have to wait. Santa, I want a puppy. I want a playhouse. Thank you. I've been good most of the time waiting for you, but sometimes I'm wild. Santa, I'll take anything because I haven't been that good waiting for you. Santa, I'm not going to ask for a lot, but here's my list I'm waiting for. An Etch-Ketch animator, 2 packs of number 2 pencils, and this is specific too, Crayola fat markers, and the big gift, my own color TV. Well, maybe you could drop off the pencils. I don't want to be too greedy. Christmas is often associated with waiting. I was reading the police report the other day, and I gaze at them once in a while in the Argus. But here's a guy, he must have a lot of time, well, a person, I shouldn't say it's a guy, but a person who must have a lot of time on their hand. It says, lights were not recycling properly at Dyke Drive and North Cliff Avenue. The caller said, well, it is a guy, he waited 25 minutes at the red light before he left. Now, who in the world would wait 25 minutes at a red light? Not me, I don't think. But, waiting. So what may you be waiting for this Christmas? What are you expecting under the tree? How about you, youth? Maybe waiting to wake up the next morning and take a peek out into the driveway and see if there's something with 4 wheels out there for you. But in the Gospel of Luke today, we'll come across 2 people who make their entrance after the birth of Christ and the angels' announcements and to the shepherds about the good news that the baby Jesus was born in Bethlehem. One of those persons is Simeon, and the other person is a woman named Anna. They don't appear in any of the nativity scenes. I've never seen them. Or any Christmas carols. Or they aren't on any Christmas cards. But really, they play a very significant role in the first Christmas. Both of these people, Simeon and Anna, were waiting for something, but actually they were waiting for someone. Luke uses a Greek word here, anticipation, that describes Simeon and Anna as waiting expectation or anticipation for the coming of the Messiah or the Savior. It really means that they were on alert, that they really, truly knew in their hearts the Messiah was coming, that they weren't just resting, but they were waiting and looking. Luke 25, we read that Simeon was waiting patiently. And in Luke 2:38, Anna was looking forward. And so the title of my message today is Waiting and Looking Forward. And shall we stand as I read Luke 2:21-38 in Jesus' name. On the 8th day, when it was time to circumcise him, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he had been conceived. When the time of their purification according to the law of Moses had been completed, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as is written in the law of the Lord. Every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord Jesus. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people. A light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." The child's father and mother, Mary, marveled at what was said about them. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." There was also a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage. And then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshiped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for the Christmas story. God's word, it is true. That a child, that you did come to this earth as a child. Thank you, God, for the privilege of being able to share today. May it bring glory unto you. In thy name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Kind of a little explanation of to what the purification process was. It says, according to Leviticus 12:1, a woman who had given birth to a son was unclean for 7 days, or until the circumcision of the child, and then for 33 days more dared touch no hallowed thing or come into the sanctuary. Then after 40 days, she had to come to the temple to be purified in the prescribed way. Their purification is indicated by the implied subject refers to Joseph and Mary and not to the child. Joseph is included because as the head of the house, he had to see to it that this purification process of his wife was duly carried out. He also provided the necessary sacrifices for her. And so that kind of explains why the purification process. And then bringing, usually what was brought was animals, whether it was a calf or a steer or whether it was a lamb. But they brought, you could see how poor they were. They only brought a pair of doves and 2 young pigeons. We're introduced to Simeon. Simeon is waiting for comfort. In verse 25, "Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him." Simeon was a very righteous man. He was a godly man, a good Christian man, grounded in God's word. And it was very evident to the people around there, too, that Simeon was this devout and very religious man. Things weren't going very well for the nation of Israel. The Israelites hadn't heard from God for quite a while, for many years, and they were under the Roman authorities. And Israel was still waiting for the Messiah who would release them. They were living in fear of King Herod, who was the king at that time. And he was a very crafty and he was a very cruel, cruel king. In verse 26, it shows us that Simeon had good reason for his hope of seeing this consolation before he would die. Verse 26, it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord Christ. Simeon's expectations were focused upon the peace and comfort that the Messiah would bring. This child, Jesus, would bring comfort not only to him, but to all Israel. This Messiah, Jesus, would bring peace to the Israel nation and release them from their bondage. Just as Simeon was looking for comfort of Jesus, we have a need, a comfort for Jesus ourselves. We can struggle with the world. We can struggle with loneliness. We can struggle with the bondage of sin. We can struggle with a death. We can struggle with emptiness. We can struggle with insecurity in our world today as we look upon our world and see all this terrorism going on. Where do we find peace? Our world needs to get back in order to seeking God. That's where the peace will be. It's sad to see lives taken like that, but it's kind of a wake-up call too, isn't it? Just think how fast those lives are taken. Did they know Christ? That's why I preach. That's why I share God's word to you. Because we never know. We never know when our time is up. The Holy Spirit prompted Simon to go to the temple courts just at the right time, the right day, the very day that Joseph and Mary would be bringing Jesus there to the temple. What a coincidence? No. I think it's God's plan. I know it is. So maybe we might think too, or have the question, how would Simeon know that this child Jesus from all the other children that were being brought to the temple? Verse 25, the Holy Spirit was upon Simeon. The Spirit would show him who the Christ child was. He would not die, was the promise by God through the Holy Spirit that before he had seen the Christ child. And then in verse 28, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, I wonder how you'd feel if you were Simeon. How would I feel? Looking at the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Messiah, God who came to this world to save us. Simeon knew that the promise had been kept. Right in front of Simeon was Emmanuel. God was with them. Bring peace to all who want to know him. Simeon reached out and took Jesus in his arms and he praised the Lord. As Simeon praised God, he acknowledged that God had not only fulfilled his promise to him, but also the prophecy of the Old Testament to send the light for revelation to the Gentiles and for the glory of Israel. Prophecy coming true back in Isaiah 7:14. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and he will be called Emmanuel. Verses 33 through 35. The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." I think Linsky's commentary on those verses speaks very well. Simeon turns to Mary. The blessing which Simeon pronounced was intended for both parents. When Simeon turns to Mary alone and leaves out Joseph, this is done because of the prophetic insight that Joseph will no longer be among the living when the things that are now stated shall come to pass. Joseph won't be around in Christ growing up. He won't be around to see Christ's miracles. He won't be around to see his ministry. He won't be around to see his suffering. He won't be around to see his death on the cross. He won't be around to see Christ's resurrection. Simeon took Mary 33 years ahead in prophecy. For the Christ child had a double purpose indicated, for falling and rising of many in Israel. It is God's intention in placing Jesus among Israel that he shall cause many to fall and perish, and many to rise up and be saved. When God's grace in Christ wins men and makes them rise up from sin and death in a spiritual resurrection, this is the effect of Christ's birth and his resurrection. The other person waiting in anticipation was Anna in 36 and 37. There was also a prophetess Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple but worshiped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at the very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to redemption of Israel. Anna was looking forward for forgiveness. After her husband died, Anna dedicated herself to fasting and to praying at the same temple that Jesus would be brought to. Anna never left the temple, it says, but worshiped day and night. Anna was waiting and looking forward to that same Emmanuel as Simeon was, but with a different purpose, I believe. Anna was probably feeling a calling of the Holy Spirit, maybe to adjust her lifestyle, to maybe some unconfessed sin that she had that could only be forgiven by the Emmanuel. The word redemption here is related to idea of being captive. The release of the Israelites from the Egyptian slavery, that's what this kind of related to. That's what salvation was relating to. This was Anna's day of being released, of being redeemed from her old self by the power of the Holy Spirit. When Anna saw Jesus, she gave thanks to God and spoke to all who were looking for the redemption of the slavery of sin to seek Jesus. Probably one of our first evangelists, wouldn't you say? It said she spoke to all. When Jesus was born that day in Bethlehem in the lowly stable, Jesus provided Simeon and Anna what they were waiting for: God's peace and his comfort, and God's forgiveness. So let me ask you today, what are you waiting for this Christmas? Can some of you relate maybe to Simeon? Maybe you're feeling lonely. Maybe you're feeling overwhelmed with things. Maybe you're feeling empty. Maybe you're feeling afraid of what's in the future. Do you need comfort? Why not be like Simeon and find peace in the Christ child? Or maybe you can identify yourself with Anna. Are you being convicted of your sin? Or something you've maybe done in the past that you're living with and don't want to confess it? Trapped? Maybe you're trapped in sin that you just can't break out of? Jesus has that key. Jesus has that key to redeem you. He has that key to your life. Both Simeon and Anna responded to the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit prompted them to move, they didn't sit still. Verse 27, moved by the Spirit, Simeon went to the temple. He didn't wait. He went to the temple. Just the right time. Just the right way to see this, the Messiah. Verse 38, moved by the Spirit, at that very moment, Anna gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all. And so it may be with each one of us when God, the Holy Spirit, prompts us, and we need to do it. It might be to confess our sin in our life. God wants us to confess our sins, because it says in Romans 10:9, if you read that, to confess your sins and believe that you can be saved. Maybe the Spirit is moving in you to serving in a position here at church. I hear the nominating committee is making a few contacts. Maybe God wants you to fill in a position here at Calvary. I can tell you it isn't the nominating committee that's asking you, it's God. So you have to deal with God. But he uses them to bring your name up. Maybe the Holy Spirit is moving you to talk to a family member this Christmas about what Christ has done in your life. Maybe a relative, maybe a wife, maybe a husband of what Christ is doing in your life. What a gift that would be if they would open that free gift under the tree, a tree that God has provided, the present, the free gift of Jesus Christ. So here's the truth about Christmas. Christmas has split people into two camps. Since Jesus' birth, he has divided the human race, hasn't he? Jesus will cause the falling, those who reject him, and he will cause the rising of those who accept him. I love what 2 Corinthians 2:15 says for the Christian. For we are to God the aroma of Christ among those who are being saved and those who are perishing. To the one we are the smell of death, to the other the fragrance of eternal life. We have to remember it's God's word. It's not us. It's God's word that's convicting them. It's God's word that's going to save them. But God uses us to share the good news of Jesus Christ, that the Savior has been born and that he lives and reigns. Because of Jesus' birth and coming to this earth, he calls people to make a choice. Which camp are you going to be in? Jesus is either a rock that you can build your life on, or He can be the rock that we stumble on. We can't stay neutral or riding the fence with Jesus Christ. You are either in his camp or you are not. I put in the handout there at the bottom, so if you want to fill in the blanks there. It says, D.L. Moody said, "Let God have your life. He can do more with it than you." Those of you who know Christ, would you agree? Would you agree when you give your life to Christ that he can do more with it than you can? I think Jessica could expound on that a little bit. And the second one, we have nothing to do with the way our life began, but we have a lot to do with the way it ends. How is your life going to end? I preached one day on a tombstone. There's a dash in between. What's that going to say about your life? You know Christ? Have you served him? Do you know him today? Friends, Christmas is a marvelous time. It's a precious time. It's a moving time. But God created and gave us the best gift. I've shared God's anointed word with you today. And how can we not doubt his word? How can we not doubt the cross that Jesus died on, that shed his blood for us? We are the sinners. Remember the cradle of Christ, but remember the cross. It is only through the cross and his birth that we can come to know him. You won't be dissatisfied with that gift. I'll guarantee you that. Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. God, I thank you for the birth. You came down as a Christ child. You came down because we were lost. We were hurting. We were afraid. Thank you, God, for the cross. The cross that reminds us of Jesus, who gave his life that all those who call upon him can have eternal life. And that eternal life is forever with you. So I pray, Lord, that if your words have brought conviction, maybe they brought an answer that maybe we've been asking and questioning, maybe an answer of yes. I want to be in Jesus' camp. I want to serve him. I want to accept the opportunity to serve him that the nominating committee has asked me. Thank you, God, for this time.